Welcome to another breaking edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Yesterday, we spoke with Penny Nance about the scandals surrounding the IRS targeting Tea Party and conservative groups, Family Talk Action being one of those groups wrongly singled out by the IRS. Today, we're joined by Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Congresswoman Bachmann is a longtime friend of Family Talk, and through her work in our nation's capital, has intimate knowledge of all the events unfolding on Capitol Hill. Congresswoman Bachmann was elected to the House of Representatives in 2006 and currently serves on the Financial Services Committee. Before her work representing Minnesota, Congresswoman Bachmann spent 5 years as a federal tax litigation attorney, working on hundreds of civil and criminal cases. Let's listen in now as our host, Dr. James Dobson, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann join us by phone.
Hello, Congressman Bachmann.
Great to talk to you, Jim. Good to talk to you, Ryan.
I am so glad that you gave us this time. I know that things are crazy in Washington now, aren't they?
They really are. There is one major story after another. Every day are heavy news days around here because of all the revelations that keep coming forward. And that's why we're having so many committee hearings to try and get to the bottom of all of these scandals of abuse and misuse of power here in Washington.
Well, I've been watching you on Fox News, you talking about the IRS scandal and other things, and I appreciate what you're trying to do. I have such great respect for you, Michelle. May I call you that?
Yes, please do.
You're a great friend, and I've loved having you on the program. We've got to have to do that again. This is really a fine mess that's going on, isn't it?
Well, it's a terrible tragedy for the American people, Jim. I'm a former federal tax litigation attorney. I worked for the United States Department of Treasury. Our only client was the IRS. So I guess you could say I was an IRS lawyer. I was in the middle of that agency. I understand how the agency works. And when this scandal first broke open, and for your listeners who may not know about this story, the IRS had targeted people based upon their political beliefs and their religious beliefs, and they were denying a tax-exempt status to organizations based upon their beliefs, which clearly they are not able to do. But the converse also was true. The IRS was benefiting organizations if they held a certain political belief that was in line with the presidents of the United States. But it wasn't just the IRS. We're looking across agency after agency after agency, and it appears that the common thread in all of these scandals is that by some, quote, freakish coincidence, all of these agencies were making decisions that would help the re-election of the president of the United States and would hurt the political opponents of the president. You can't do that under our form of government. It's shocking. Now all of these revelations are coming to life, and there is no agency, Jim and Ryan, that is more feared and in some cases hated than the IRS, because the power to tax is the power to destroy. And that's what we're seeing, is that the IRS used their power to punish the political enemies of the administration.
And now what is coming to light, and people are beginning to realize, is that the IRS is going to be responsible next year for the implementation of Obamacare, which means that all of our records, all of our health records, every intimate detail of our lives is going to go to Washington, and this agency apparently will have access to that information in addition to knowing absolutely everything about our finances. That's frightening.
You're right, Jim. That's what's so frightening. There was a Wall Street Journal article this week that talked about that. People within the IRS said that this is the greatest expansion of jurisdiction, meaning areas of authority that the IRS has responsibility for. This is the greatest expansion of their authority, but it's also going to be the greatest expansion of employees. They will likely have to be hiring an additional 16 or 17,000 employees just to enforce the government takeover of health care, which is known as Obamacare. No American is going to escape the reach of Obamacare. All of us will come under this net. And so now a new national database is being created as you and I are speaking. Now, here's some of the things that will have to go into that database. It will have to include our employer, where we work, what our salary is, It will have to include our spouse's information, our children's information. It will have to include the most intimate personal details of our health histories and our health information. It will have to include where we live geographically. In other words, all of our information about our lives will be in one national database. Today, CMS is in charge of that information, but no one knows exactly who all will have access. Presumably, millions of government bureaucrats will have information access to this digital information. And what the worry is that as we see an agency as powerful as the IRS already misuse tax data based upon political and religious beliefs, it's now reasonable to ask, can we trust this same agency to wisely use our information? Will they use our information to deny us health care? Will they use it to delay health care? Will they use it to embarrass an individual or blackmail an individual? That may have seemed like a stretch a week ago. Now that is a very reasonable question that people should ask. So let's talk for a minute about who these political opponents were. They targeted Christian organizations. They targeted people who were for the state of Israel. They targeted people who were against big government debt, people who are conservatives, Tea Partiers. And conversely, if you were if you had the word progress or progressive in the name of your organization, you got fast-tracked. Yeah. One Tea Party organization had been denied a status for about 2 years from the tax-exempt portion of the IRS. They filed a test application, and they called themselves the Greenhouse Solutions, and they got their status in 3 weeks. So, you know, this tells us that there's something there, and now to expand their power at the worst possible time. And also something else to note is that the IRS employees, many of them, had been giving donations to President Obama's campaign.
Yep.
So there's a lot to ask about.
It's great. And the former director at the IRS, Chief Stephen Miller, says none of this exists. He says he takes exception to the word targeting because it's derogatory. It's a loaded term. And he said it's one that describes something that didn't exist.
Well, of course it existed because the IRS already admitted that they did the targeting. Mm-hmm. So they've made the admission. I'm a trial lawyer, and you have two steps. First of all, you have to determine guilt or innocence. Did something actually happen? The IRS admitted something happened. And then the next step after that is to determine what are the damages. That's where we have to go from here. What are the consequences to religious organizations, to conservative organizations, to Tea Party organizations? When they could not get the tax-exempt status, they couldn't receive contributions. There were Tea Party organizations here in Washington at our press conference who said they had people who wanted to make very, very large donations so that their message could go out in the last campaign. They were denied that because they were denied a tax status, whereas the liberal organizations got their tax status, got their donations, their voice was heard. So this was a denial of First Amendment speech rights, but this is shocking.
Michelle, it's widely known that the Billy Graham organization was targeted and Concerned Women for America and the Tea Parties. But we also were delayed in getting our 501c4, and when our lawyer talked to him about it, trying to find out where it was, they said they were probably going to deny it because we were not educational. You know, I have a PhD from USC and was a professor of pediatrics for 17 years. I've been on the radio for 32 years, and I'm not educational. But then they went on to say we're a right-wing organization, there it is, and that we're political because we have criticized Obama on occasion. I mean, it's
Jim,
we're talking about.
There you have it.
Yeah.
You are political because you criticize the president. Mm-hmm. This is how third-world dictatorships act. This is how banana republics act. We have not seen this before because what this is, under our form of government, no man is above the law, including the President of the United States. And this is turning our form of government on its head because we have a Constitution for one reason, and that's to pin down government so that it doesn't deny us our rights. That's why the first 10 amendments are called the Bill of Rights. It isn't rights for government. It's rights for individuals. Mm. And when government denies us our personal, unassailable individual rights, that's called tyranny. And so this is a very different realm we're in. This is not overheated rhetoric on our part. These are actual examples of what's happened in recent months with this out-of-control government, and that's why people are so concerned, because now government is looking at expanding its power over the most personal, intimate area of our life. That's the ability to deny us access to health care or delay treatment. This is important.
It is life and death.
Yes,
so,
it is.
This is not overblown. If anything, we're just now beginning to understand what trouble we're in and why there is such an outrage, even in the press. I think, Ryan, you mentioned that Piers Morgan was after Carney, Jay Carney, recently.
It was shocking. Piers Morgan was questioning Jay Carney, saying that the administration said they were going to be the most transparent administration out there, and that in the past weeks, there's been a dent put in that. And Jay Carney said, well, I'm not sure again. He said, quote, you're concocting scandals here that don't exist.
Ooh, after the IRS has already admitted that they targeted political opponents of the administration for punishment.
Yeah, and they were talking about Benghazi, too. He said, you know, that this is a total fabrication by Republicans, that it doesn't exist at all. It's interesting. The talking points are very clear. Stephen Miller said, quote, this doesn't exist. Jay Carney, quote, this does not exist. I mean, they've got their ducks lined up for sure.
They've got their ducks lined up, but that's because they're under a complete barrage, because now all these things were hidden are now coming to light. And again, the common thread is that it appears decisions were made based upon whether they would benefit the president's reelection chances. And the most egregious of all of these scandals, I do believe, is Benghazi for this reason.
Yeah.
What we have an American creed, and it's a almost an unwritten code, that if we send men and women in harm's way, we will provide them with the very best protection and cover that we possibly can, because greater love hath no man than this, but that he lay down his life for his friend. And when someone does that for us, we have to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the President of the United States abandoned Americans while they were under fire for over 8 hours and failed to send any intervention of military rescue, and when all of the signals were sent ahead of time for months and months that this was a highly vulnerable mission in Benghazi, and security was pulled, and yet the ambassador was put in while security was pulled, and then we found out that the administration knew literally within moments of the attack that this was an attack, a terrorism attack. The Secretary of State knew this was a terrorism attack, and they concocted this phony story about an internet video and blamed it on people having Islamophobia, fear of Islam, and they continued that story for weeks. We've been lied to over and over and over again, but you can't lie about people's lives. And the real question we have to determine is, did the president fail to send in a military rescue for these Americans under fire in Benghazi because of political considerations for his reelection chances? If that's the case, you can't get worse than that.
You know, all these scandals, any one of them could have major implications for this government and for the White House, for the Obama administration. I mean, it's unbelievable that they've all happened at once. What is the atmosphere on Capitol Hill?
It's charged. It's highly charged. We recognize how serious this is. I'm also the chief author of the bill to repeal Obamacare. We had my bill on the floor last week, Jim and Ryan, in the House.
Mm-hmm.
We had a unanimous vote from all Republicans in the House to repeal Obamacare, because people get it now that the IRS will be in charge. We even picked up Democrat votes yesterday to repeal it. After this last election, people thought, that's it. We will never repeal Obamacare. But now people have a very different view, because they see that in 2014, we could see a change in the Senate so that we could repeal Obamacare in the Senate and in the House. And when millions of people are going to be thrown off their health care, which we already know, nonpartisan government groups have already said, millions of Americans will lose their health insurance by their employer, and millions of jobs will be lost, and costs are estimated to go up this week. They said up to 417% increase in health insurance premiums, I think, and that's all beginning 7 months from now. When all of that hits, I think President Obama may be forced to have to repeal his signature piece of legislation because the American people won't stand for it. So I think what we're seeing is a renewed hope that we haven't had since this last election. And this isn't about politics. It's about the people. It's a renewed hope that we actually may be able to regain some sanity and regain the country and regain some of our liberties. For the first time, we actually have some hope.
Well, that word insanity there is intentional, Michelle. Is it really at that level?
Well, I'll tell you, we've never seen anything like it. These scandals are breathtaking. In no prior administration have we seen this kind of a misuse and abuse of power. I mean, we could just go right down the sheet. We haven't even talked about the Health and Human Services Secretary, who deals with Obamacare, who has gone out and has been soliciting upwards of $300 million. We know she's soliciting $150 million right now from insurance companies who will benefit from Obamacare. She wants them to donate money so that the government can run commercials to tell people, Obamacare is great. You're really going to like it. And we know that she wants to spend $300 million on these commercials. That's a shakedown. If there was ever a shakedown, it's a raw shakedown.
Mm-hmm.
And the media was silent until the story came alive that the Department of Justice had taken the phone records of journalists so that they could AP journalists were calling.
This really makes the Watergate break-in look like a kindergarten party.
Exactly.
Well, we need to be praying for our country and praying for our government. The scripture tells us to do that, and I know that the Lord cares about this country, and there's certainly many, many millions of people that are calling on his name. And what else can we do? We also need to let our voices be heard, don't we?
Well, we do. You know, it's interesting. We pray and pray, and yet we've seen the dam burst. And one of the prayers that we have had is that the Lord would reveal the hidden things. And that's what he's done in this last week. It is amazing the information that has come forth. And when you shine the light of truth on what's going on, it's not a very pretty sight. And people are reacting. Most people have a very good heart. And people are reacting with common sense. And they're beginning to ask questions. And so now the administration is scrambling. And one old adage is that if you're going to lie, you have to have a very good memory. And so now we're seeing that a lot of people are caught in statements that aren't truthful. So we can have hope, as I said, tremendous hope that as these stories are coming forth, we don't want to hear them. We know that they're not good, but we also know that it can lead to a renewal in our country of holding on to what is good. And that's what we're seeing here in Washington in these last few days, mm-hmm. as people are coming forth and sharing their stories. I encourage your listeners, if they've been targeted by the IRS, if they somehow think, gee, that was weird that we got audited, or why did this happen? Now, there is a place for audits, but if they're thinking that they're unfairly targeted, they should say something. They should call their representative. Now we're finding out that we are part of a very large sector that appears to have been deliberately, intentionally targeted by the administration, just based upon the position of our religious beliefs, our political beliefs, not lining up with those of the administration.
Speaking of family talk action, the agent asked our attorney if we wanted to revise our application, and he said, no, put it in as stated because it's accurate. And he said, if we have to litigate, we will. And about 8 days later, we were given our 501c4 status. So after all that delay, there really wasn't a there, to use Obama's words.
Well, right, and it's because you pushed back. You push back, and this just to give your listeners an example of how shocking this is, there is testimony that the IRS was requesting of organizations that they submit the list of books that they recommend and also book reports on the books. Give us the list of your volunteers. Give us the list of your donors. We want to know, has anyone in politics, are they associated with your organization? It was just bizarre, and there was no uniformity. They wouldn't ask the same questions of every group. It's like people were just gone wild, and they were allowed to ask anything of anyone just for the purpose of harassment and data collection, and then to deny and perhaps to lead to future witch hunts. And that's why I think this is so shocking. This is not a 24-hour story. The president tried to end it by saying that he'd accepted the resignation of Stephen Miller, the IRS commissioner. But then we found out that was even a lie because the IRS commissioner was scheduled to resign and depart in June anyway.
That's right.
Their scapegoat wasn't—it was convenient for them, mm-hmm. but not from a news point of view.
Congressman Bachman, can I read something to you?
Sure.
Just a couple days ago, a Bloomberg reporter asked the president, and this is a quote, "Can you assure the American people that nobody in the White House knew about the IRS's actions before your counsel's office found out about the IG probe?" Here's his direct response. "I can assure you that I certainly did not know anything about the IG report before the IG report had been leaked through press reports."
And so what that is the president is refusing to answer the question.
That's right.
And so that's an inadvertent admission. It's not a conclusive admission, but it's inadvertent. Mm-hmm. And so he's decided that he will not answer the question. And the best thing the president could do for himself right now, quite frankly, is say, look, I'm going to be 100% honest with the American people. Everyone in my administration will be. For all federal employees, be forthright and produce all emails, all text messages, all phone records to Congress or any investigator, because we will follow the law. That's what you would do if you truly are trying to be above board. Otherwise, you try to hide and obfuscate. And again, I knew this was a phony story when it came out, when they claimed that it was a low-level functionary at the IRS. Impossible. Because again, with my work that I had done as a tax attorney, we could only litigate and work on the cases that we were specifically narrowly assigned to, and we couldn't work without. We had very thick manuals. We had to follow standard operating procedure, check all the boxes. Then supervisors would check our work. It would go up with the food chain. It was virtually impossible to go rogue on people's tax information, as it should. Those fail-safe mechanisms were created to ensure the American people that their private tax information would never become public for obvious reasons. I mean, this is way too much power in the hand of our government.
Well, we've been talking to Congresswoman Michelle Bachman, and I know, Michelle, that you've got to go because Congress is going to reconvene in a few minutes. But thank you for taking this time to be with us and tell us what's going on there. All of us have a stake in this. We're all implicated. You know, talking about health care, I don't want to be too graphic, but everything from our sex lives to our diseases and disabilities and all other aspects of our bodies is going to be on a website in a national database. And I don't have confidence that the people who will review this will keep it secret and will not try to use it against us. So this is extremely important. We're going to want to call you again. And thank you for what you're doing and for the courage you're showing.
Well, you're welcome. And again, I think that's why you saw the House of Representatives pass my bill, the full repeal of Obamacare, last week. And that's why I have renewed confidence that we can see this bill pass in the Senate. And I think the president will ultimately be forced to repudiate his own signature piece of legislation because the American people will demand it. And I think before his second term is over, we're going to see a miracle before our eyes. I believe God is going to answer our prayers and we'll be freed from the yoke of Obamacare. I believe it's going to happen. And we saw step one last week with a repeal of Obamacare in the House. We have two more steps. We serve a mighty God, and I believe it can happen.
Our prayers are with you, and thank you for all you're doing.
Absolutely. God be with you and with your beautiful family.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Our thanks to Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann for taking time out of her busy schedule to help us in our fight to protect religious liberty for all. As these events continue to unfold, we'll keep you updated via our Family Talk Facebook page and on our website at drjamesdobson.org. As you know, Family Talk is completely listener-supported, and for us to continue our fight to stand for righteousness in the public square, we need your financial support. You can donate by calling 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Or via our smartphone app, Facebook page, and by clicking on the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for listening. God bless, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.